Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long. So let's get into the show. Hey, Jackie Cation. Here's my face, real close. I'm in my living room, Rangers of the Dork Forest, and I have with me a man who runs several. He's a stand-up comic. He's a delight. He has a new comedy special on the Helium label coming out this fall, and he's got a podcast called Grid Penalty that he's doing with Jeff Tice. Matter of fact, this is going to be a two-parter. It's going to be Brent Gill, then we're going to get Jeff Tice. Jeff Tice did the art for my my new album. And but you have a couple of shows that you do. Well, there's one in Denver called Faded, and that's on Fridays, I think, right?
Yep, third Friday of the month.
And then Boulder, Colorado, every Sunday. 9 years of doing that Boulder comedy show. May 15th. So I'm hoping to do it in August when I come to do Fort Collins in Colorado in August some point.
I would love that.
Feel free.
And you did the 8-year anniversary last year.
What? That's right. That's hilarious.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
We all just keep plugging along. 16th year of the Dork Forest. So welcome to the program. Brent Gill. It's I am Brent, B-R-E-N-T, G-I-L-L. That's your Instagram.
That's the one.
And it's the Grid Penalty Podcast. And welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on the show. I know that we have talked about this for a while, and I never really felt like I had anything that I wanted to dork out on. And so it's exciting that I finally got something like, oh, I can dork out hard on this.
Well,
so.
And it's interesting because I've recently realized, 16 years later, that people think that I need them to know things. I just don't. I need them to be enthusiastic about things. And if they know things and they're wrong, there's someone listening who will email me and I will forward that to you and you will be kind of excited about it because it's someone else talking about something you love and you're like, I want to know this weird minutia that this other person knows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I know you're talking smack about how I was wrong, but I couldn't be happier to hear this. You know?
Right? Because it's that thing that I love.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So nobody else is willing to go into this sort of detail with me about it. So it's a delight. So Brent Gill, I don't know anything about this thing. It's a Formula One, which seems to be some sort of race car thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. This is going to be great. I'm going to educate you a lot of this. And then Jeff will, too. So basically, Formula One, the reason why I felt like this would be so fun for the show is Formula One is probably one of the fastest growing sports in the world right now, and definitely in America.
Really?
Which I bet you didn't know that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's huge.
I thought it was
right
kickboxing,
now.
Sport of the future. Am I wrong? All right.
No, it's professional tag is what it is, which is something I have watched for too many hours on ESPN.
There's
8,
something
the Ocho.
Called professional tag.
100%.
Oh,
100%.
I kind of need to see that as well.
It's called like World Chase Tag, I think is what it's called. Oh. Let me see here if I can find it. Yeah, World Chase Tag. It's a registered trademark. And that is, it's basically, it's exactly what you think. It's chase and tag. You have one who's it, one who's not it, and then they're trying to chase you through this obstacle course to see how fast they can get you or if you can avoid.
But it's
in that amount of time.
But it's one-on-one tag? It's like a two-person tag game?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember as a child trying to play two-person tag. It was pretty boring.
There was also kill the guy with the ball.
That was fun.
That was a good one. Yep. That was
very politically correct 2022 way to say the name of that game.
We called it kill the guy with the ball. Some people
for real?
Would come in. Yeah. Some people would come in and they would call it other things and we would be like, why would you call it? And it's not like
why,
I grew up.
Why are you so mean?
Right. There was like, why would you call it that? Because it was, I think, and this was in the 70s. So you would, and it wasn't that we weren't racist. It was that we were just like, well, that just feels rude. We were busy living the benefits of institutionalized racism. And we had been raised on Sesame Street where the entire definition of racism was don't say the word.
If you don't say it, then you can't be racist.
You can't be racist if you don't say the word and you don't actively hate someone for whatever their jam is. And while still being racist, it turns out, and while still benefiting from institutionalized racism.
Who would have known? You could just put all that together.
Right, and world, and we did not put that together, but we certainly didn't call it the horrible thing. We just called it kill the guy with the ball, and there were no homosexuals or people of color involved at all.
You were in Minnesota. I believe it was Minnesota,
Wisconsin?
Right?
We were in Wisconsin. Well,
yes, okay, Wisconsin. Cold.
Which, yeah, currently is pretty damn racist out loud. So, there's trouble. So, okay, so world-class tag, but just one-on-one. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about that and the next time you're on the Dork Forest.
Okay,
right now, let's talk about why.
Formula One.
Yeah, is it, what kind of cars are they?
So Formula One racing is, and so a lot of things to unpack here, but the gist of it is Formula One is open wheel racing. So where you think like NASCAR, you have, your wheels are covered by the car.
There are fenders. Yes.
Correct. Whereas Formula One and IndyCar, which we will get into as well, are open wheel racing. And it's basically, it's a different type. The easiest way to describe it is they took all the technology for a fighter jet and then they inverted it so it could stay on the ground.
Whoa, I would think that would be drag racing. So
that's pretty close too. Aerodynamics are a little bit different, but you're not far off.
Okay, so I went to what I think to be too many races when I was a kid. One of my cousins, we called him Uncle John. He owned a racetrack outside of Milwaukee called Hales Corners Racetrack, and he has since sold that. And he now owns a garbage heap that he turned into a ski hill. This guy's a genius. Anyway, but so I would see stock car racing and it was a lot of laps, right?
Yes.
Is Formula,
and it's in a circle, correct?
And it's in some sort of ovaly kind of situation. Yeah.
Yep.
Is this a flat straight out?
No, so there's drag racing, which is a flat straight out, and you're going a quarter mile at a time. You start at zero and you see how fast you can cross that line.
Okay.
And that's drag racing.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool too, but that's just going straight for anywhere from 4 to 15 seconds.
Right. It is the shortest waste of fossil fuels you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, you have no idea. It's so dumb. I remember going to something in Denver or in Golden by Red Rocks called Bandimere Speedway, and they were doing drag racing and you know, stuff like that. And I remember thinking to myself, and I love racing. I love cars, but what a dumb discipline of racing. Like, it's just so overly risky, because I mean, like, you're putting these massive, like, if you look at a top fuel, so most cars like will go like the Tesla so like the Tesla is known for how fast it is, and it can do a quarter mile in probably, it's like 0 to 60 in like 3-4 seconds depending on your model.
Okay.
And your quarter mile, you're looking at, you know, 9 to 12 seconds.
Okay.
Right now a top fuel is these massive, long, super long cars.
Low, low.
Yep, real low, big wheels on the back to get traction. Mm-hmm. And the fastest that I've seen those, it's like 3.5 seconds, you're doing a quarter mile. I mean, it's insane.
Wait, how the Tesla, how long did it take to do a quarter mile? Like 15?
About 12.
12 seconds?
About 12, 15 seconds,
okay,
yeah.
So 3 to 4 seconds in one of these top
Correct.
Fuel ones.
Correct. And so that's like drag racing style. And what's crazy about that is you're literally using jet fuel. Like you're using this super high octane race fuel that's like, you know, mostly like alcohol, just so you can get a higher...
The explosion is bigger if it's pure. Yeah. Is that the deal?
Huge. Yeah. Okay. So if you blow up your motor, it's massive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what?
It's dangerous.
Yeah. It sounds dangerous. So you're sitting essentially on top of a gas tank hoping to go. And how fast does a drag race go? Just before we get into it.
So a drag race for like in normal drag racing
seconds.
Cars.
Yeah.
Oh, so in those 4 second cars, you'll hit 350, like, yeah, something like that. I think let's see what a top fuel is. This particular one I wasn't ready for.
Oh, right.
For these stats.
Oh, no worries.
speed record, 335 miles an hour is the speed record for a top fuel.
Quarter of a mile. So
quarter
me
mile.
Going essentially from Van Nuys Boulevard to Kester in 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
3 seconds, I'm already there, and I've already killed 3 dogs, probably a half a dozen 100%. Cats.
A lot of squirrels.
A lot of squirrels, all kinds of, there's been garbage cans. Anyway, and the fire that's coming out of the back of these things.
Yeah. Because
there's usually a big
insane.
Flame, right? There's like a big circle
there is.
Of exhaust,
yep.
and then
yep.
poof.
And you can feel these things going by. It's so much power that you can like feel the air moving. You can feel like when they step on it, it pulls in. So, because moving a car forward, so like... Like the whole, like moving a car is all about moving air.
Okay.
How fast can you get air into your motor and how fast can you push that air out will determine your speed.
Oh.
Right? That it's as simple as that.
Okay.
It's just movement of air.
Okay.
And
because
so you have
when you
these
push
like,
it out, that's your propel? Is that's propelling
exactly.
you? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a, it's not so much like a fan being like, and pushing you that
yeah.
way, but the concept is basically there. You have your pistons, you have your cylinders, and they basically are compressing an air and a fuel mixture, which explodes, and they push that up, and that is what gets pushed into your exhaust, and so that is propelling you forward.
Okay.
But if you can't get it out of the motor fast enough, then you can't go faster.
Okay.
It's all about getting it in and out fast enough.
Okay.
So... You can feel on these top fuels, the air get pulled in and pushed out when they're like really stepping on it. And you can feel it in your chest. And it's like, it's insane.
Have you ridden?
No, I do want to clarify. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I have not driven in one of these before.
Okay.
No, it's a single seat car. And Formula One are single seaters as well.
Okay.
In fact, most real race cars are just going to have one seat, mostly because of, you
right,
know,
right.
weight
you're not,
and all that
yeah,
stuff.
You're not going shopping. It's not, I mean, there's no,
no.
There's, you don't need, so like how, okay, so what we've learned so far, in or when I say we, I mean me.
it's the group.
It's the Tesla. Goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds and can do a quarter
yeah.
of a mile in 12
yeah.
seconds. The
yeah.
top fuel, which is a drag race for the most part,
yeah.
right, is 3 to 4 seconds to do that quarter mile.
Yeah.
And now a stock car, is that also a top fuel?
So a stock car is more like NASCAR.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those are going in on oval tracks.
Right.
Those are going on circular tracks.
Yep.
And again, now like we're just slowly kind of getting to me more and more interesting in this type of driving.
Okay.
So now instead of just going straight, now I got to turn.
Okay.
And then go straight and then turn again and then go straight. Right.
Sure do.
And
maybe,
so,
maybe 50 times. Maybe 500 times.
500. Yeah. So like the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500, all of that are 500 mile races.
Okay.
So they're driving in a circle for 500 miles. And typically... A track will be about 2-3 miles long, typically. I think the longest track is Talladega for a circular track distance. And I think that is 2.66 miles,
okay.
which is one of the longest in NASCAR. So a 500-mile drive, you're doing 250 laps just in a circle.
Yeah, and that... Book on tape? What are we doing in there? What's happening in the car?
A couple podcast episodes. Yeah, you know.
it's okay. So that's and NASCAR cars go. Do they go 300 miles or do they just go like 150?
Those don't go 300s. Those are in the high hundreds, low 200s.
Okay.
a lot of that will depend on other factors, like if the air is real. If you're in like Florida, you're gonna have more dense air, so you can pull in more air and push more out.
More
if you're at altitude, like in Denver, you won't be able to. There's it's a lot thinner air, so you get less power, so you can't go as fast. So, for example, I have, which I will definitely get in on this later. I have a BMW Z3, the little tiny little roadster.
Okay,
and then I put a Corvette motor in it.
Wait, this is a car that you yourself drive?
I myself drive and own and have taken to racetracks.
All right. And have driven on a racetrack with this vehicle.
Yes,
and you've opened it up and as they say. And
I've opened her up.
And have you gotten up to 180?
So the fastest I got was, I think, in the low 150s. When you're going that fast and you have a turn coming up, you're not really looking at your speedometer as much, but you're interested. You glance, you know.
You're interested.
But there are other pressing factors that you're going
to
need to keep in mind.
You'd roll around on the turn.
Yeah, or go straight through that turn.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
That would be a real problem.
The instructor wouldn't love it either. So,
that is fascinating.
So that car at altitude, I have 370 horsepower.
Okay.
Everyone knows what horsepower is, you know. It's the measurement of how fast your car can go, or like the amount of power you have.
Okay.
So like a Toyota Corolla would be like a 200 horsepower
car.
Now
we're going to digress to talk about the driving of the Cation family. First of all, none of us are good at it. Second thing, my personal problem with it is the only car accident I've ever caused was I totaled my car, and it was a Hyundai Accent or Elantra or whatever the hell it was. It was a car that I bought, 2017. I was super tired. I blew through a stoplight and here's the thing. And I must've fallen asleep. It was really bad. It was dumb. This is not I just realized that wasn't me bad. I mean, that was me bad driving, but that wasn't the thing I didn't like about the Hyundai. The thing I didn't like about the Hyundai that I love about my second Toyota Corolla that I've got here, the 2015, very exciting, is that a Toyota Corolla is the perfect car for a driver like myself, where you make a decision, you press the accelerator, the car thinks about it, and then acts on it, and you are given a good heartbeat to go, oh no, didn't want to do that.
Wrong call.
Break. And so that's where, and that's perfect for me. Now, my brothers, there's just a lot of weaving. They're all just,
That sounds like me.
They're all just half blind. Just my dad one time drove up on a median.
Oh,
this
shit.
Like 35 years ago. He drives up on the median. We're in his whatever town car kind of situation he was driving.
Yeah.
He drives on the median. He gets back on the street. I was like, what was that? He's like, what? Never wanted to discuss
it. You didn't see nothing.
Never mind. Nothing to see or keep moving. Anyway, so you have this BMW Corvette mix. And that's just a hot rod for you, by you.
Correct.
That you get to, that's your toy. That's your Hot Wheel. That's a delight.
It's one of my two toys. Like my two toys. I have that, and then I got a 4-inch lifted 1990 Jeep YJ for like off road stuff.
Oh, you have an off road. Do you off road?
Yeah.
Or do you just drive around?
I do off road. It's something I've always wanted to get more into because I always had cars that couldn't quite handle it, and I pushed them too hard and broke stuff.
Oh, there you go. So now you have the right tool.
Exactly.
Were you to get more into it, it would not be an issue. So,
exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, is the last car, because I promise you, we're at like 15 minutes right now. And all you've done is set up different kinds of racing. So, an open wheel vehicle that is the Formula One.
Yes. You asked how fast those cars can go, and that Z3 at altitude, where there's less air at 5,200 feet, it's 380 horsepower. When I bring it to LA in a couple weeks, I'll probably be at about 415 horsepower, right? So there's, with more air, you can get more power. So that question, it depends on a bunch of circumstances you can't necessarily say that it can't hit those speeds, but they can. But typically Formula One cars on the whole, for the most part, are going to be the fastest of all the race cars.
Okay.
Again, there are situations where that's not the case, but for the most part, that's the same. And kind of what happened was, 4 seasons ago, Netflix put out a... Now we're into Formula One. Here we go.
This is it.
Now, 50 minutes in, we got it. Netflix made this special, or this docuseries called Drive to Survive.
Okay.
And basically what they did is they followed the Formula One season. And in most racing people's opinions, in most Formula One fans' opinions, even in like broadcasters and journalists and all of that group, agree that Netflix pretty much single-handedly brought Formula One to America.
Where was it before?
It predominantly Europe.
Okay.
It is a rich white dude sport. I hate
like
saying
polo,
it, but it is a
like all the
oh
yeah,
yeah.
It's
oh it, it's, like horse racing.
Yeah, it is a wealthy man's gig.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I
and
mean
European.
Each of these cars.
Yes.
Yes, very, very European. Each of these car is like $10, $15 million. So when they throw one into a wall, that's $15 million they just threw into a wall.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
We could have gone to like, space. Okay.
We could have fed a lot of people.
Yeah, there's housing issues, yeah. But I get it. All right. Yeah.
So Formula One got real popular because of that. And then the pandemic hit, so people had time. After everyone was done with Tiger King, they were looking for other things to watch.
Sure.
And they found this docuseries, and it blew up because they kind of like dramatized and you know, like reality showed the sport, which I will leave that particular topic to Jeff because that's his favorite part of
okay.
it. That's not my favorite part. The drama is interesting, but that hooked so many people on
okay.
it. And then you fast forward to last year. They've had 3 seasons mm-hmm. of this show. Last year is they have a race in Austin, Texas at the Circuit of the Americas, and it is the largest attended Formula One race in history. In the history of Formula One was in Texas.
Okay.
There was over 400,000 people that came to that race.
Wow, talk about a super spreader event. What do you guys...
Oh, you have no idea. Oh, but, I mean, thankfully, COVID didn't exist in Texas, so that was okay.
Yeah, that is nice. And yes, it is beautiful that it skipped a couple of real key states.
Skip Florida, skip Texas, yep. you yep. know, the mm-hmm. important mm-hmm. ones. And so Jeff and I went to that race last year, and it was insane how many people were there. I had no idea. I mean, that was the first race I'd ever been to, and it was wild how many people came to it, and so many new
What was the name
new
of the festival?
Fans. It was the Austin Grand Prix, which is just spelled Grand Prix,
yeah, yeah.
but it's European, so you got to say Grand Prix.
Well, and I'm going to ask Jeff about this. The Drive to Survive, did that take place almost exclusively in Europe? Or did they have American?
Yeah, good question. So it seems like watching it enough now, it seems like they sent a crew to follow everybody. And so after the race, they had time with all the drivers and they would get them to recap and then the team principals and all that stuff. And then they would cut it together throughout the season. And then at the end, they, you know, polish it up. And then it typically will release about a week before the first race of the following season.
No, but where they shot it? Did they shoot it in Europe? Because this was a European sport.
At every race. It was all over.
All over
it
the
was
world?
At Bahrain. It was
okay.
at Saudi Arabia, Australia, Italy, Monaco. It was at all of these places. Yeah.
That is quite a 1% list of towns, for sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and, it's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Monaco is like the dumbest race. I mean, it was cool back in the day, and people hate me for this. People do not like me saying this. Monaco is not a fun race. It's not cool.
Okay.
It was cool back then because the cars were smaller. The cars weren't as fast.
Okay.
And so you could have more passing and stuff like that. But now it's such a tight track because it's done on public streets.
Wait, are Formula Ones done through public streets? Like you're chasing the bulls?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. So for the most part, it's either going to be a track like it was in Austin where it's dedicated to being a racetrack like what your brother owned.
Okay.
Or your uncle,
yeah,
excuse
yeah.
me, your
but,
cousin.
Yeah.
Or you do like what it's going to be in like Miami this year in a couple weeks, or Monaco where it's like streets that 2 weeks ago everyone was driving on And then they create this track for in this section, and you're driving on actual roads, which those are interesting to me.
Well, that it feels more like Cruising USA for sure. It feels more like the video game where you're going through 100%. The streets. So are you in a Formula One race? How long's the race usually? Is it standardized?
Or? Sure. Yeah, so each race will have their own lap numbers. So typically it's between like 55 and like 68 or like it's under, I haven't seen one that's more than 70 laps.
Okay.
But the interesting thing about Formula One is, and this is different from like IndyCar and NASCAR and stuff like that, is you can't refuel at a pit stop. The fuel you start the race with is the fuel that you have for the whole race.
That is fascinating. So you... Right? Get in the car, and when you run out of gas, you're either you're doomed or the race is over. And
correct, but also though you have to finish the race with a liter of fuel in it.
Oh, there's this whole thing about gas mileage. That's hilarious.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So like for example, I believe it was last season or the season before, one of the drivers didn't have a full liter left and got disqualified. Won the race and then had to like and then lost it.
Right, because now so it's also about fuel usage then.
Yeah,
that is.
And this year too, they just introduced E10, so now every fuel, all the fuel has 10% ethanol in it.
Which does what?
Oh, to me, it's their way of just being like, look, we care about the environment as we spend millions of dollars shipping hundreds of team members across the fucking world. Yeah. Sorry if I can't swear on here, but across
swear
the world.
It up, fuckwit.
Okay. And they're transporting cars.
Yeah.
$1 million cars across from Saudi Arabia to Australia to Mexico City to Canada. Yet we're going to put 10% ethanol in our fuel.
Are they low? Are they low on the ground? I kind of want to look up.
Super low.
It's okay.
Super low.
And
so the whole point of it is to have an aero kit, an aerodynamic kit that will hold you down. Because like sometime in, I think it was season two of Drive to Survive, there was this young driver that hit, it was just bad timing, a gust of wind came up and hit the front of his car, and his car lifted up by the nose and went upside down and crashed upside down.
Whoa.
And he never, he raced that rest of the season, but he's not in Formula One anymore. I mean, you go through a crash like that at 22 years old.
Yeah.
You're going to have some second thoughts unless you're a psychopath, which most of these drivers are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're hurling yourself in a jet propelled car at 200 miles an hour around corners.
Right. And how long do these races usually last? Or how long are these races? They aren't 500 miles.
Yeah. So they are typically, I mean, the track themselves is typically still between 2 and 3 miles long.
Okay.
And you're doing like 70 laps or like this last race was 63 laps. In terms of a time frame, that could vary because there could be a crash and there could be a safety car, or it could be a bad crash and there's a red flag and you restart the race where it was.
Right.
You know, so, and then there's other types of crashes where you'll do like a rolling start or instead of like a grid start again, or you'll start out, you know, there's a whole bunch of different variations as to why, you know, you can do it, but there'll be some races that are 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and then other races that are an hour and a half because there wasn't many wrecks, or the wrecks weren't bad enough to have to, like, stop the whole race.
Okay. Are there almost always wrecks?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And sometimes it's small stuff. And typically, what's crazy about this is, like, when a race starts, there's some tracks where the first and second turn are very tight, and you have 20 cars just all right by each other, inches away from each other, trying to make these turns because you have to stay in the track guides as well if you go out of the track limits.
Right.
And you get a new position. So say you're fifth and someone pushes you out, or you think they did, so you cut track limits and you get to third. Well, if they deem that was illegal, you got to give those places back.
How do you do that?
So that's where wrecks will happen.
How do you do
in the middle of the race? You literally let 3 and 4 go by you, and you get back in.
And how do they tell you? Is everybody on like?
Yeah.
Okay, they're like, "Hey,
radio.
Jim, you just skipped. You have to fall back. If you don't fall back, you'll be disqualified." This type of thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then you'll have these, you'll have wrecks in those beginning parts because everyone's trying to make these turns. You hit wheels. The wheels aren't warm enough yet, which I won't get too detailed in this, but the importance of tires is I've learned is
so funny.
That's a Formula One car. Isn't that cool?
That's a cool car, but this looks like every cool, like, it's funny that you say that it's only become really, really popular in the US because that has been the Hot Wheel of choice for decades.
Yeah.
Right? That has been the car that everyone's like, they have those big fat wheels on the outside and I bet you they zoom real fast on the track.
Now you were probably to add some, and this is where everyone gets thrown for a loop if you don't know it. IndyCar, those cars look almost exactly like that. If you were to search IndyCar and look at a car, you would think it's the exact same car.
What is the difference?
I'm so glad you asked. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
So IndyCar is mostly American. It's mostly here in America. Similar concept. It's open wheel racing as well. But the biggest difference is that with IndyCar, every team is given a spec chassis. They all get the same chassis, the same aerodynamic kit, and they all have a choice between two motors, Chevy or Honda.
Oh,
that's
weird.
It.
Weird.
Right. And you can refuel and do other things. And there's other rules and stuff like that. But the big part is that you are driving, in theory, the same car. It looks exactly the same, doesn't it?
Yeah, except for the spoiler. The
spoiler's different. That's an older version of one.
Okay.
But you're on the right track, though. But yeah, it looks pretty much exactly the same.
Okay.
And so so really the cool thing about IndyCar, and some people, look, I think IndyCar is fascinating because now the playing field's been leveled so much.
Right? So it's mostly
the cost
about the driving,
of entry.
Maybe.
That's exactly it. It's who's the better driver.
Yeah.
And then those better drivers get picked up and then put into Formula One.
Oh.
That's kind of how the process works.
That's funny. Yeah. They're just like, oh, you're really good at this. We're gonna put you on a tiny rocket.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's nice because, I mean, those cars would be, $500,000 for that car.
Oh, okay. Because they're standard.
Because everyone's got
it.
Right.
And when you say everyone, you mean
all the teams.
Like, they're standardized.
Correct.
They can be produced in mass. But Formula One cars are more like Speed Racer, where Papa Speed, or whatever his name, Speed Racer's dad.
Daddy Speed,
I think his name was Pa, or Papa, or something. I had a Speed Racer episode of Dork Forest that is amazing, actually. And but he created his own chassis, engine, all of these things.
Yep.
And so the teams that are the engineers that are making these cars are very specific and probably backed by different fancy car companies.
Exactly. Yep.
Are there
So like Mercedes is a big one. Right? Mercedes is probably
they're not known for speed though. Aren't they known for comfort?
Well,
I suppose in racing, I guess they're known for speed.
Yeah, so you are correct. They are known. See, to me, Mercedes does a really good job with a motor, but I don't feel like in the cars that we can afford that are in our everyday life, Mercedes does make a good motor for sure, but they're known for comfort.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. There's
BMW, handling, Porsche, handling.
Okay.
That kind of stuff, which Porsche might get into Formula One this next year as well.
Well, they have not yet been in.
I think they used to be in there. There's 10 teams in there now. And really, it seems like it's a matter of if you have the money, then you can come.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're talking $1 billion, probably $500 million minimum.
Like, so Ferrari probably.
Ferrari's huge.
Yeah.
And so last year it was Mercedes and Red Bull that were the big ones.
Wait.
So Red Bull, of course. Yep.
Wait,
oh, yeah.
Were they working with Mercedes or against?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Enemies.
Head to head, Red Bull car. And
All right. Which is Honda.
Oh, which was
so
a Honda
car. is the power unit for Red Bull. It's the only them and AlphaTauri, which is Red Bull's like sister team in Formula One. They use Honda. Most people will use Mercedes motors or Ferrari motors as well. For example, one team, Haas Auto, and several teams can do this if you want, can buy the motor from other teams. Right. You can buy Ferrari, you can buy Mercedes Motors, you can buy, I think McLaren was using Renault for a while, then they went to Mercedes. So that's very normal because the technology to build those motors is insane.
Right.
And Mercedes has all the money in the world.
Okay.
So that's where it doesn't quite get fair because some teams like Mercedes and Red Bull and Ferrari have so much money that they can just dump all of this cash into research and development. Whereas, you know, Williams Racing or Haas Auto or these small teams can't afford
that. So they have to buy the $500 million last year's model. And see if they can soup it up, maybe, or?
No, it's this year's model, but basically you get a blank motor. You don't get any instructions with it. It's like, you got to figure out how to make this work for your car.
Okay.
Because we know how this works for our car, but you can have the block and the pistons and the high compress and all the stuff, but it's just, it's a motor in a box.
Wow. Weird.
And you got to put it into your car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a weird sort of side business that someone came up with.
Definitely.
Just sell them the motor. They won't be able to use it. But right. You're just like, well, how much money would we make? A couple hundred million dollars? That's not enough to matter. And you're like, it's a couple hundred million you wouldn't have before. What do you care?
Right.
Give them the motor.
Right.
And this feels like a very much a committee meeting kind of, we're all sitting around and some guy comes like, well, we got to, you know, aren't we giving Mini Muffin Monday? Let's make a couple extra $100 million so that we can pay for Mini Muffin Monday.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's exactly
so
it.
So weird.
Yeah. And so then the FIA, which is the like International Racing Association, basically, they say that here are the specs for the car this year. So this particular season, the one we're in right now for 2022, they just revamped a lot of the car. So the motor stipulations are pretty much the same, but they'll come to these teams and be like, okay, your car has to meet these qualifications. It has to stay within these guidelines.
Okay.
Have at it. And then you got to figure it out. You got to build your chassis. You got to build your aerodynamic kit. You got to test your aerodynamic kit. A big thing that's happening now, it's called porpoising, where when you're driving at a certain speed, you're bouncing up and down like this because the aero kit is off. And so you're just bound. And these drivers are starting to get like spine issues because they're going 190 miles an hour while bouncing up and down by like 6 to 8 inches.
And nauseous.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like, pardon me while I throw up.
yeah, exactly. And so they have to figure all that out on their own. That's part of Formula One.
Okay.
Whereas IndyCar, all that would have been figured out. Everyone gets the same thing.
Right. Right. Okay.
End of story.
So are there weight limits for these cars? Are there any?
Yes.
So the cars have to be a certain weight. You can't really go below that because it will, if you paper mache this, you know, boxcar derby vehicle, it will destroy everything. And then you're like,
definitely.
I won, but there's only just skin and bone. And I've been flayed as we've gone 380 miles.
Yep.
Have they ever thought about putting solar panels on top of the thing to just sort of, you know, sort of and make it,
you
make
know,
the
I
gas
would hope
lander?
They would put wind turbines on before the solar panels. I think that would be good because it rains some places.
Right.
Imagine that. They race in the rain.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. In Italy this past week, they race in the rain.
Wow. How many crashes?
A lot.
A lot of crashes in the rain.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Yeah.
I mean,
and they have different tires and stuff that they are allowed to use. And they have rules that you have to use two different types of tires, unless it's like full on rain. I think that may get overridden. But for most races, you have to use two different types of tires, a medium and a hard, or a hard and a soft. And, you know, you just have to use two different types. And so you have rain tires, you have intermediate tires, which is like halfway between a slick and a rain tire.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fascinating to watch these dudes driving 150. I mean, because you can't go quite as fast.
Right.
Because it's still raining.
It's raining. And do they have windshield wipers?
No, they don't.
Because of how fast they're going, there must be some wicking.
there's definitely wicking for sure. It's funny, the Formula One cars don't have any windshield at all. So they all now have a safety halo. So a lot of safety precautions
like a
have
visor?
Been put in.
Like sort of a visor
kind
over
of.
The top of the, The roll bar, yeah, essentially?
It's like a donut. Yeah, it's like a roll bar donut, okay, you know, around their head. Mm-hmm. And that's like within the last like 5 years new.
Wow.
And IndyCar has that, but they have a windshield, whereas the F1 drivers have these little plastic things they put on the visor of their helmets that they can just peel it off if it gets gross.
Oh, weird. Oh,
but otherwise, it's just water just running off of your face.
So they're wearing some sort of helmet goggle situation, obviously.
Yeah.
Thank God. But they have like sort of layers that they could just peel off. They're like, oh, this is now full of bugs. And we
100%. Okay. 100%.
And then there's possibly another layer underneath it, sort of like when you wear three or four shirts, or is it just,
Yep, there's like five or six layers of them on there.
Good to know.
I saw them first on like dirt bikes and stuff like that. Like they'll be, because there's so much mud flying everywhere. Yeah. I used to see them like these dirt bikes hit a huge jump and they're in the air and they pull it off while they're in the air.
Right.
And then they land and they can keep going. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Dirt bikes are super cool. So Formula One, they're going super fast. They're either driving on a street or a track. And there's
turns. It's not an oval. It's turns. Oh, there's like 15, 16 turns.
Oh, it's kind of
sometimes
winding?
20. Oh, yeah.
It's very James Bond. It feels.
Yeah.
That's okay. I love that tone of voice. Yeah, it is.
That's what's so fun about it is like it's such a more difficult discipline of racing. You're not going in a circle. You're not going straight. I mean, trust me, those other ones are very difficult. Going straight at 250 miles an hour for 12 seconds and keeping your car together is hard for sure. But this to me is like, you have to be so confident in your car and in your skill that you can be full throttle 250 plus miles an hour to about 100 feet or 100 or like 50 yards before a turn, slam on the brakes, make the turn, full accelerate, pull off the accelerator again, make another turn. And I mean, it's just all this type of racing to me is so much more difficult than just going in a circle.
Right. Well, it's certainly a different set of skills. Here's the next question. Do they get a map? Do they know what the course looks like?
That's a great question. So they do know what the course looks like. A lot of these guys will, there's simulators that have the course, the track. And so they'll be practicing for the track. A lot of them have raced these tracks before, though. I mean, you don't get like these dudes are, you know, in their mid 20s, most of them, if not younger, but they've been racing since they were, you know, like Max Verstappen with Red Bull, I think started like 4 or 5 doing go-karts.
Okay. And
so
then
most of them start with go-karts and move up.
Right, then his parents brought him to every race and probably sat him at different parts of the racetrack so he could see the way the drivers dealt with different curves and corners.
Right. And to be a Formula One driver, you think hockey's expensive? Try being a driver.
It
like
is,
these families have to have so much money.
Right. And if they're starting at 4, this is generational wealth that is creating these drivers. And you're just like, so I bet you all these guys are pretty good looking.
Oh, you have no idea. Jeff and I joke all the time, hot guys and hot cars just doing hot things.
Well, because there's nothing that makes you better looking than good dental work and a lot of money coming up, right?
Absolutely.
There's a $300 haircut. There's a $700 t-shirt, you know, that will make everybody much more handsome. And then, of course, the next question, are there any women?
There are not.
There
are no female Formula One drivers at this time. There are there are not, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think that they separate it like women's racing league and men's racing league. I don't think they do that like golf or basketball or stuff like that. Annika, or not Annika, who was it? That's golf. Fuck, now I forgot her name. GoDaddy, Danica Patrick.
Okay.
She was racing in NASCAR with everybody else. You know, right? Same concept. If they have a driver that they think, like there's female IndyCar drivers and Formula 2 drivers.
Right. And they might get recruited if they end up being amazing at that. Because that's
correct.
Essentially the A ball of the sport. Interesting that
a lot of drivers too are so rich that their family just buys them a seat.
Yeah.
They'll come in as a sponsor of the team.
House of Commons.
Like like Aston Martin.
Right.
Lance Stroll. Lawrence Stroll is the father. He's a Canadian oil guy.
Okay.
A billionaire, and he came in as a big sponsor for Aston Martin under the guise that his son will be one of their drivers.
Right, right. He was just like, you gotta let my kid drive.
Yeah. Here's $1 billion, but you gotta let my kid drive.
Right. And they're like, could we have two cars? Because we have another. We have a better driver.
They do have two cars. Yeah. Every team has two cars.
Well, yeah.
Every team's got two cars.
Two cars, okay.
Gotta have two cars. That's the rule.
I have to say, when I asked you about women, that if you were a different guy, because you were saying something, I was like, not Brent isn't about to say. He was like, women shouldn't drive. And it was because it would be interesting to see where the sexism lies in race car driving, because I'm sure it's riddled. But but it's like to try to do stand up is one thing, right? And you know, in the 12th century when I started, but it wasn't completely without precedent to try to be a Formula One driver. How about people of color? Are there any black Formula drivers?
Yeah. So I would say that the racism is higher than sexism because it's there. So a guy named Lewis Hamilton is the star driver for Mercedes.
Okay.
Lewis is a 7-time world champion. So he has won the season 7 times, and that is tied with the absolute most there is.
Right.
Now, the reason you don't have a lot of world champion drivers is because they die. They get in a wreck and they die.
Oh my God.
They don't last long enough, right?
Dude, so is there people dying in their 20s? Are all these guys in their 20s?
So Lewis is the oldest. He's 37, I think. He's like old in Formula One age. And
the fact that he's lived is its own triumph.
And that's another thing to how good of a driver he is. And another thing to the safety precautions that they have put into the into effect.
Oh, that they've,
There was a race 2 seasons ago, I think maybe it was last season, where this guy went into, I believe it was Kevin Magnussen, went into a wall and his car basically blew up. And he crawled out of the car. Mm-hmm. That's how good they have gotten at protecting this cockpit for the driver.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, so and that's, it's frightening.
Well, I think that a lot of the, I mean, if these are billionaires, the sons of billionaires.
Right.
I'm sure their parents are like, yeah, I don't want him to die. Why don't you work? The R&D should also be involved in how to make that kid live, because I want grandkids, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I have generational wealth to pass on. And
exactly.
So that is fascinating, too.
Yeah.
So Lewis Hamilton, where is he from? Is he British?
He's British.
Okay.
Yep. He's British. And I mean, just a phenomenal driver. He really is. Last year, such a fascinating season last year. And if you do watch that Drive to Survive series, I would almost recommend you go from season 1 to 4. You can do 2 and 3, it's fine, but season 1 kind of lays out and gets you familiar with Formula One. And then season 4, which is last year's season, was so tight and so incredible. It literally came down to the last race to see who won.
Wow.
They were perfectly tied. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, Mercedes Red Bull, were perfectly tied. And so it would have come down to, if both of them didn't finish, if they got a wreck, Max would have won because he had one more podium than Lewis did.
Right. So,
but points wise, they were the same.
They were neck and neck. And
yeah. And so they, in my opinion,
spoiler alert,
Lewis got robbed.
Okay.
Lewis got robbed.
Yeah.
He got so fucked, and because there was a...
Look at how dreamy this dude is.
Isn't he a good-looking dude?
Yeah.
Dude,
this
guy just hangs out with...
The surprise in your voice is not okay. Just because this dude, he was chiseled literally out of a piece of marble. This is a beautiful man. This is a...
Yeah.
Yeah. And
he's so cool. He's got a cool style, too. Like, if you see his Instagram, he always looks cool. He's hanging out with Instagram models all the time.
And he doesn't look like an
time.
Idiot, either. He looks like a... You know, he might be a giant tool bag, but I mean, who is...
He's cool.
Who are his parents? Are his parents...
So his dad...
as well?
You know, that one, yes, they do have money. Yes. I don't think his dad or his family has like as much as like the Verstappens or the Strolls or the Mazepins, which are no longer in Formula One because they're Russian. Right. So they got booted because of all this Ukraine stuff, which I support.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe his, family net worth for Lewis Hamilton is $285 million.
Okay. So
his dad was a driver. His dad was a British racing driver.
Okay, so he's sort of got whatever they do in fraternities or sororities, right? Grandfathered.
Yeah,
but
Yeah, he's like grandfathered in, but
it was a
something
pledge.
Like that.
Maybe he's a pledge or some sort of, there's some sort of rich people history going on here. And we clearly do not know it.
it's too rich
it's
for
too
us.
Rich.
Like we're not even allowed to get in on this.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of, that makes sense too, though, is that if you come up through Indy and you're just a millionaire and then all of a sudden you get picked up by the Red Bulls of the world and the Mercedes of the world and brought up into billionaire status. Hopefully, you know, you don't. So these guys are, so every year someone like gets in a car accident and probably dies.
I wouldn't say every year now because
of the safety?
I mean, no one died last year, but like because of these safety precautions, you know, which are good, but you can get hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, I imagine just because it's so, it's so intense.
They didn't let Mick. So Michael Schumacher, world renowned driver in Formula One, he's the one that has 7 world titles, just like Lewis. Lewis is tied with Michael Schumacher. Michael's son, Mick Schumacher, is racing with Haas, who is an American F1 team.
Okay.
It's the only American F1 team. And Michael died in a car accident. You know, Mick was doing, he was doing qualifiers and he went into a wall at 160, 170 miles an hour and they didn't let him race the next day. They like made him take
a day off.
So, cause you get shook up and it kind of throws you a bit. It's going to change the way that you drive knowing you just went into a wall at this turn.
Yes, you have to regroup and I would imagine, and you would, and if, just as much as you have to get back in the car, or get back on the horse per se, right? As the saying goes, you also have to take a break to let your body, because I'm sure his body was shaken like a rag doll, and he, you know, was probably a mass of bruises and contusions, I just, you know, it's one of those things where you know, he died doing what he loved, and you're like, fuck you. He had 2 kids.
But did he have to?
He's not okay. I would prefer, you know, because seriously, if and when I die, and I will. But if like the Laugh Factory puts up that I'm making God laugh, I will haunt them. I will come back and
I will make sure your business closes because I hate this so much.
I don't want to. God's fine. He can write his own material. And he's not going to need me anyway. But
he created this brain. I'm pretty sure he's got a good one himself.
Right. Oh, too funny. So how many races are in the season?
So that's up. So that is increasing with the popularity.
Makes sense.
Right. So I think last year it was like 17. And I think it's at like 22 now. There are 22 races for this year, which is the most it's ever had. And they're talking about trying to get to 25 races as well.
Wow.
Now, there's a lot of controversy with this because you have to take your entire team. There's like 80 to 100 people per team.
Even though they never stop. Even though there's no pit stop. You got one guy who's in charge of.
Well, there's pit stops.
Oh, there are?
Yeah, there's pit stops, but there's not. You can't refuel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you like break a front wing or something like that, but you'll need new tires, you'll need new parts and stuff like that, you can do. Just can't refuel.
Okay. All right. Well, then that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But 80 people.
Yeah. If not more. And they take them from their family for 6, 7, 8 months a year, they're just gone because they're in, like I said, they're literally all over the world.
They're all over the world. So this also sounds like the job of someone who is either single Or yeah. And is there, I want these teams to be paid well. Do you think the teams are paid well?
I would venture to say
probably.
So. I mean, yeah, I mean, the big people like the driver, the team principal, the head of like development and technology are probably getting, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a year, if not more. The drivers
plus air and
get
hotel,
anywhere.
You guys. Plus air and
plus
hotel.
Air, yeah. Yeah, don't forget travel expenses. But like Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen are the two highest paid drivers. They get $50 million a
wow.
year. And from just their teams. The lowest driver, I think, was at like $750,000.
Okay.
So there's a huge spread.
Yeah, and the as per, just like baseball or anything else, I suppose. And I had a pertinent question.
We had a bunch of teams. Yeah. Are they getting paid well to leave their family for a long time to transport them?
Right, so the jobs have to be, there has to be like paperwork people. And then there's a mm-hmm. person that's making sure that the tires, that the little thing is screwed on.
Yep.
That the
so
air
many
doesn't
words,
leak.
Yeah.
And,
yep, exactly.
That is, and then is there scandal? I'm going to ask Tice about this.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Jeff would, he'll go way into it. I'll touch on it. The scandal for, the biggest one that comes to mind of recent is the finish, is the end of last year's race. Like, to decide who won the championship. Yeah. So what happened was there was a safety car that got put out, and Lewis Hamilton was leading the race handedly. He had like a 13-second lead, if not more. I mean, it was he was leading the entire time. There was a wreck, and so he had to make a decision. The team did. If I go in and pit, then I'm going to lose spots, and if the safety car doesn't finish by the time we're done with our laps, I will have lost.
Okay.
So I can't go in.
Okay.
Right? Max Verstappen was so far behind, they were like, we could risk this because we're already going to lose.
Right,
so
we might as well
who cares?
Go. Yeah.
We might as well try it. So they pitted, got new tires, and then the now former FIA director, who has been moved to a new position.
Oh, how Catholic Church.
Because
of
it
them.
Was such bullshit. Yes. 100%. Yeah. He basically made it to where he broke the rules. You're not allowed to overtake during a safety car. So he let that happen. And then he basically let them start almost side by side. Now, the problem with this is they had one lap to go. Lewis is on old tires. Max got these new tires.
Oh.
So you have more grip.
Yeah.
So Max was able to win the race because of this. And it was such bullshit the way that it went down.
Right.
And it felt a little racist. It really
did.
Okay. It felt, and it felt like they, because Max's dad is also a one-time world champion and big in racing as well. And so it felt like they were like, well, let's give the kid one because he'll be the youngest driver
to ever.
But Lewis would have been the 8-time world champion, which is a new record.
Right.
And so it was a lot.
Sounds like a lot of strings.
Bullshit. It was bullshit. Yeah. I was very disappointed.
So everybody called bullshit. And then that guy was moved. Probably without any sort of pay cut.
Yep. Probably not. Yeah.
And he still gets to go to his meetings that are in the basement of that temple. And
yeah, exactly. You got to know the handshake,
right.
But yeah.
Creepy. Good for you, sir.
Yeah. So there's a lot of drama in there, and it's just such a fun sport to watch once you start getting into it more and seeing all this. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like horse racing. There's so much money involved in it, and the cool part is like the technology that these companies are creating in Formula One eventually trickle down to our cars.
I saw Devil Wears Prada. I know that green sweater was part of a fashion industry thing 3 years ago, and so is that how it is? It's just like they're like, those pistons work really well, so they're gonna go
100%. Paddle shifters on your cars to like shift up and down on your steering wheel. Like you have these little paddle shifters.
Yeah.
A lot of sports cars now, I don't think many
Toyotas
have them,
the
but
2015
sports
Corolla
sports cars
not.
Have them. That came from Formula One. Traction control came from Formula One.
What is
power
what
steering?
Is that? Traction control.
Traction control.
Am I supposed to have that? on or off?
It's good to have. Have it on for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So what traction control does is if it senses one of your wheels spinning, especially in like our cars, it cuts power to that wheel. So you could be stepping on it, but you're not going to go because if you're spinning it, then you don't have traction. So it controls the amount of power going to the wheel.
Huge reveal, you guys. Yeah. Finally, yeah. One of those lights on my dashboard. I know what it means. And that literally is an hour. But I do kind of want to ask one more question. We go.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, when did the game start? When did they start doing this particular kind of Formula One? How long has it been around? In Europe and whatnot.
I believe it's been about 50, 60 years.
Okay. Because it does sound kind of James Bondy, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So for first F1 season, because I know that Ferrari's been in it from like the get-go. That is what Ferrari does. They only sell cars to afford the Formula One. And so 1950, it looks like, was the fourth season of the FIA.
Wait a minute.
So yeah, about 19.
The Formula One series originated with the European Championship of Grand Prix Motor Racing of the 20s and 30s. The formula consists of a set of rules that all participant cars must meet. Formula One was a new formula agreed upon during 1946 with the first non-championship races taking place that year. So probably became standardized really in the 50s, but 1946.
In like the 50s, yeah. Because the FIA was put together to formalize and standardize and have rules and judges. So it's like referees for a race.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rangers of the Dork Forest, what we have been doing is part one of two Formula One Dork Forests with Brett Gill. That's who we're talking to now. He and Jeff Tice, artist, comedian, all around good egg, have a podcast called Grid Penalty, right? And is it about Formula One racing? I feel like it is.
Yes, it is.
And maybe I'll ask him what the hell that means. But I am Brent Gill is your Instagram. And you're going to have a new special out put out by the Helium Comedy Clubs, which should book me.
Yeah.
Come on. But in the
fall. Come on, Grossman.
Get on it. A lot of people don't fill rooms. I could not fill rooms, too. Anyway, so I'm going to be playing probably that Boulder room on a Sunday. But May 15th is 9-year anniversary. Sundays in Boulder, Colorado. Every Sunday, Boulder Comedy Club, Boulder Comedy Show. And then Faded is Denver once a month, right? And
with me and David Borey.
Oh, very cool. So thank you for doing the show so much, Brent.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's a lot of info, and I hope y'all find it as enjoyable as I do, because I mean, this Formula One stuff, I'm like addicted to it now. It's quite a problem.
I think we got that. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?